How many of you are familiar? You should be if you've been around me very long. How many of you are familiar with the Latin phrase carpe diem? Okay. Anybody not know what carpe diem means? It's all right if you don't. I mean, it's not like we say it every day. That's what. How many of you said carpe diem this week? Probably not very many, and I understand that. I did a Google search, and carpe diem is one of the little used phrases that seems to be very searched for. Isn't that interesting? So apparently somebody's using it, and it's heavy on the search thing. My first year that I came here, I shared from Psalm 118 and verse 24, and it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I know I've brought this up just more than once over the 25 years that I've been here, haven't I? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God made every day. It's a big theme of mine. And if God made the day, we can be sure of one thing. He didn't make it a bad day. He didn't make it a bad day. So if the day has gone bad, somebody's done something to it, right? Somebody's misappropriating it. Somebody's using it for things that God didn't make it for. Do you ever think of it that way? I'm not sure I've ever said it quite this way before. If somebody's using it for a purpose that God did not intend it to be used for, then the bad day is a stolen day. You know, we all have those days when, because everybody around us says it, right? We all have those days when we say, "Oh, I'm having a bad day." Or maybe we've gotten past the bad. You know, I'm having a tough day. I'm having a tough day. Because we don't want to call it bad. Because, well, you know, Pastor Tim over 25 years has told us over and over and over and over and over, God made the day. So I don't want to call it a bad day. I'll just call it a tough day. I'm having a ring day. Wonder what that note is. I don't know if it's a C or not. Everybody say this. A bad day is a stolen day. That's something to think about, isn't it? When I'm having a bad day and other people are having a bad day, it may seem like, well, that's, you know, you have bad days sometimes. And I don't want to take that, you know, we tell our children, don't we? You know, not every day is going to be like the other day. We, you know, you're going to have a bad day now and then. I mean, you're trying to communicate that there are going to be days that are going to be easy and there are days that are not going to be as easy. But the reality is, Jesus said, "My burden is easy. It's light." So sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, "Lighten up!" Or maybe I should say, "Enlighten up." I need to enlighten myself. I need to remind myself. Who would it be that you think would probably want to steal your day? What now? Now, sometimes I see people pointing at each other. Sometimes, you know, the devil can't steal your day by himself. He's going to have to have at least your cooperation, and he'll probably employ someone else to help. How many of you can identify with that? He's employed someone else, or he's used something they've said or something they've done or something they've not done, and you're having a tougher day. If they'd have just done what they were supposed to do, then your job would be so much better. And I get it. I get it. John 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the NIV. I like this. Life and have it to the full. My day is supposed to be a day that the Lord has made, and he's given me this day to fulfill something in my life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it won't be a hard day. Do we know that sometimes the Lord uses the things that are strenuous to exercise us in order to make us into who he wants us to be? He does. But who's the thief? The devil. And what's he want to do? He wants to steal your day and kill it and destroy it. Whatever he can do. The word destroy actually means to mangle or harm in that way. I've had a few mangled days in my life. Yeah, it happens. So one of my life messages, without me even maybe realizing it, because it's not like something I have emblazoned on shirts or anything else, but one of my life messages is carpe diem. Seize the day. I want every day to count. I want every day to matter. I want every day to be a good day. Even if it's not an easy day, I want to see that it's a good day and make sure that it's a good day and do my best to have a good day in the midst of what may not be all that good. I want to have everyday encounters. Gee, I just spoke on that a while back, didn't I? I hope you, some of you, took it seriously enough to maybe try to start looking to see whether you're actually having an encounter every day. You might be surprised if you actually start to write them down. I found this funny thing, writing down my everyday encounters, I suddenly realized, oh, that was an encounter. Or even better, sometimes I, as I'm reviewing my day, oh, that was an opportunity for an encounter. Oh, I could have had an encounter. Oh, this could have been a better day than I even allowed myself to have. See, it's just a matter of focus. That's what it comes down to. Now, carpe diem is translated for most purposes, seize the day. But I did a little more intensive look at it, and it really goes down to, and I think I've told you this before, it comes down to the word seize is actually the word pluck. Pluck the day. Its biggest reference was to picking fruit. So a more accurate, actually, translation could be, if you think about it, enjoy the day. Because, I mean, when we pluck fruit, we usually have something good coming, don't we? That's why we pluck it. We want what's, that's going to be good right there. Now, of course, that's true as long as it's not your dad making you go out to the garden and pick strawberries. Used to happen to me as a little kid. But the strawberries were better to pick than the beans. Because I didn't like beans. I like them now, but I didn't like them. I didn't like beans, and you could eat some strawberries. I didn't even care there was a little dirt on them. Didn't bother me. Ate those strawberries while I was picking them. That was okay. Couldn't eat the beans. Nope. Although some Chinese restaurants serve them snippy like that, don't they? At least they're warm, but they're just like, they didn't really get cooked. I like the soft ones myself. For that. The other way you might in a way think of it would be pluck it while it's ripe. Get it while it's ripe. And every day has good fruit if we look around, find it, and seize it. I believe that. Now, sometimes we're looking for the fruit of the day and all we can find is lemons. Isn't that a common thing that they say, right? And yet, how many of us have heard that phrase? Well, if you get given lemons, make lemonade. Yeah, find a way to make it better. But sometimes the fruit isn't that, just not, no matter what I do to it, it's not going to make me happy. Any of you got fruit that you just really wouldn't rather not eat, no matter what? Are those kind of fruits that you just, doesn't do anything for me? Yeah, I know. So someone says, yeah, you know, it's hard to make lemonade. If you don't like lemons, then you don't, yeah, what's the point? Well, what if the fruit that God gives you isn't for you? What if on occasion he gives you fruit that he wants you to pluck that is for the sake of someone else? See, there's one of those other things that we can seize the day sometimes because the opportunity is there for us to be a blessing even more than be blessed. But you know what I say? As soon as you start being a blessing, you're going to get blessed. I believe it with all my heart. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Sometimes what we're getting is something that we need to be faithful with, even if it's not the thing that we were looking for. At the Leaders Advance many years ago in Redding, California, I was out to one, and Paul Manwaring, the guy that came from England, he came the week and he came on 9/11. Basically, they were already on the plane, I think was the way it worked, and they came to America and things were crazy, and he and his wife managed still to make it to Reading. And he came from a prestigious job as the warden of a prison and was in charge of all sorts of things and was a very smart man, but his wife wanted to go to the school of supernatural ministry, so he kind of took an early leave and they came out, and the next thing you know, he's a brilliant guy and he's on the leadership team. But he told the story, I think it was 2009, and at the time, he was in charge of what they called strategic planning and administration. And again, a brilliant guy, but he confessed in that meeting that he wondered why he was on the leadership team. He questioned it. How did I get on the leadership team? What qualifies me to be on the leadership team? And, you know, he was hanging around with all these people who were apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, not administrators. He didn't feel wonderful about what he had or what he did. In fact, he said it was a bit intimidating. You know, all these people had seen signs and wonders and miracles at a level that he had not seen them at, and here he is, part of the team. And he couldn't figure out how God had put him there or why God had put him there, and it just felt weird. And he found himself comparing what he did to what they did. Anybody besides me ever do that? Mm-hmm. One day, he was in his office, and Steve Witt, some of you recognize that name, he's at Bethel in Cleveland. He was out for some kind of event, and he wandered through the offices. I should have tried that. I never did. But anyway, he wandered in. He was wandering around a little bit, and he wandered into Paul's office, and he began to give him a prophetic word about his gift and the value that it was to God and how important it was to God. And, well, here's what Paul said. He said, "I realized that when I embraced the gift that God had chosen to give me, that he could trust me with the other stuff that I most desired as well." When he seized the day, if you will, for what was really his gifting and grabbed a hold of what God really had for him, then God could start to give him other things. Paul has since this time moved back to England just a few years ago. And he's been doing some stuff in England and Europe, and they've been having large meetings, and he's been preaching to stadium crowds of thousands. Was up until COVID, and even since then, they've still had some stadium meetings. It's been pretty interesting to see what God has done with that guy, and a whole lot more people are getting healed under his ministry than he ever imagined could happen. But he was faithful to what God had given him, and it made a huge difference. In Philippians 3:12, the Apostle Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. God wants to seize you. And he wants you to seize what he has for you. God wants to seize me. And he wants me to seize all that he has for me. He wants me to take hold of whatever is going on every day. And if you will, use this word, embrace it. When you embrace someone, you don't just kind of touch them. You grab a hold of them. You pull them in. You get your arms wrapped around them. You seize them. Have you ever tried to hug someone who's trying to get away? It's kind of fun, actually. Even if you don't like to hug, you should just do it to somebody because it's really fun to hug. I get it. We don't hug enough. I'm telling you, we need to hug more. We can't get a better tomorrow until we embrace today. Or at least it's hard. But the more we embrace today, the more we're ready for tomorrow. And the more we embrace today, the more we cultivate for our harvest tomorrow. So every day is wonderful. And you all know what I say when I'm on the checkout line. They say, have a nice day. It's unavoidable. If that's all I say, I at least try to say that. Sometimes I launch. It's unavoidable. God gave me a good day, and if I don't screw it up, it's going to be a great day. And they look at me like, oh. And usually they smile. Sometimes they tilt their head. So that brings me to something that kind of goes with this. And I thought maybe I should address. Because I haven't in a while. So just in case. I don't know that I'm looking around the room and I'm not seeing anybody who's going to be like, oh, I didn't know that. You probably know this, but at the end of the month, there's a day that some people call the Devil's Day. And I always have this same question. Oh, really? Who gave it to him? It's the Devil's Day? Really? Who gave that day to him? Last I checked, every day is the day that the Lord made. Who gave the devil a day? Are you giving the devil a day? No, I'll just bring this up. Maybe somebody's heard about this. We were actually just talking about this morning. Do you all know that we have a yoga class on Saturday? You all do realize that we don't chant yoga stuff. It's a yoga class, right? We're just, you know, there's just some people over there who are contortionists trying to, you know, just loosen up. That's all. Just using some things that work. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. Do you know that when we go into the cultures, we're supposed to go into those cultures and redeem those cultures for the kingdom? Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. So then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. The King James Version, I think, says circumspect. I decided not to use that version for the very reason it says circumspect. How many of you use the word circumspect any time in your life unless you preached? I don't think I've ever used the word circumspect in my entire life except when I quoted it, quoting this verse, when I was a young man and the King James was the only thing I had. not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Oh, there you go. See, Tim? The days are evil. They're all evil days. They're all evil days. We just go hide someplace and let the evil days go by because they're all evil. Just wait on Jesus to come and get us. Hallelujah. The rapture's got to be close. Look at what's going on in our government. Got to be the rapture. The King James Version, New King James Version, some other versions say redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. When you redeem something, you ransom it. When you redeem something, you rescue it. Does that make sense? Maybe the times are not what they should be. I tend to agree. There's a lot of evil going on in the times in which we live. I am in amazement at the number of people who live in la-la land right now in their head and believe things and say things which are so obviously not true, obviously warped, obviously vile and evil. I find it interesting that there are government officials who, if you ask them what a woman is or a man is, they cannot tell you. Because so defining something like that is a problem. And I never thought I would live in a time when that was a problem. So when you redeem something, you take it back. You take it back. See, this is the day that the Lord has made. If somebody's stealing our day, we need to take it back. Every day is the day that the Lord hath made. Every week is the week that the Lord has made. Every month is the month. The times that we live in are times when it's time to take it back. Everybody say, take it back. Say, take it back. Say, I'm going to take it back. Well, we can take it back. It's our job to take it back. We were saved by a Redeemer so that we could be part of redemption. So there are all sorts of things that people say about this day coming up at the end of the month here, this week. Halloween. And it's a bad day. It's the devil's day. What's really weird for me is, and I've got a big folder. I actually meant to bring it so I could hold it up and wave it at you today, but I left it on table at the house. I've got a big folder full of all of my research when I was a young man on Halloween. Yeah, I could get my notes out. I could refresh myself on Samhain and Talmuz and all the things that went with the false god Mithra. Yeah. And all it's how it's all tied to this and that and the other, and it's gotten into the church. Well, do you know that the word Halloween is more Christian than the word Easter? What? The word Halloween is more Christian than the word Easter. If you want to go back and research, check it out yourself. Halloween actually comes from the Romans, and the Romans decided to designate a Halloween, which was an All Hallowed Evening, before All Saints Day. And they would have a feast on Halloween before All Saints Day at the time of the vernal equinox, the autumnal equinox. I don't want to get going down this thing too far, but All Hallowed Evening was the meaning of that. And there were missionaries in different parts of the world, but mainly this, I think, started in, if I remember right, I didn't read through it all again. There were missionaries to Europe, and they saw that there were pagans who had holidays. By the way, they had holidays fairly often, which is not be a surprise to us because we have holidays almost all the time now in this country, don't we? It's like every day's a holiday. And in the process of the pagans having certain holidays, when they got the autumnal equinox, which was near the harvest time, they would have harvest related parties, and they would celebrate those harvest parties to their gods or to their dead or whatever their beliefs were. And the early missionaries, the early leaders in the church wanted to redeem the time, for the days were evil. So they started having, at the time of the equinox, a celebration. Only they had the Roman calendar, so they picked a day. The heathens didn't have the Roman calendar. You do know that the equinoxes do not fall on a specific calendar day every year. It just doesn't work that way. So those, if you will, who were trying to establish something different for the heathen were trying to seize the day. They were trying to redeem the time. But the word Easter actually has its origins in the vernal equinox, which is in the spring, and it comes around Passover. But the word Easter comes from the Roman goddess Astarte. Greek, Roman, somebody like that. And it was connected to heathens, and it was a time when heathens knew, so when they started having celebrations of the risen Christ at the time of Passover, those things got blended a little bit. I'll tell you a little story. When I was a young pastor, I got into this a little bit too heavy. Started reading about different things like symbolism and some of that stuff. Yeah, do you know that Jesus probably was not killed, according to some historians, on a thing shaped like a cross? The word staros in the Greek is actually an upright stake or pail. And some people who were crucified didn't crucify with their hands out to the side, but crucified with their hands tied above them. You know where the cross came from? It's that Talmuz guy. Seriously, this is the kind of stuff that happens when people become super legalistic instead of super spiritual. Wanting to go after what God is doing, wherever he's doing it, however he's doing it. I just love the fact that he wants us to be people filled with his spirit and just going after the spirit rather than the letter of the law. So if somebody out there heard that we have yoga, it's not. No. Nobody's in there chanting. Might be shouting glory. Ouch. Yeah, ouch sometimes gets shouted too, probably. You know, if we're not careful, we could end up with every day being given over to the devil. Seeing the evil in the day and focusing on the evil instead of focusing on the redemption of the day. Romans 14 verse 5 says, one man esteems one day above another and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Long time ago, I became fully convinced that every day is the day that the Lord has made. I love that some people like to call Sunday the Lord's Day and understand where that originated and all that stuff too. But the truth of the matter is, Monday will be the Lord's Day for me. Tuesday will be the Lord's Day for me. Wednesday will be the Lord's day for me. Come on. That's what we got to do. We got to make every day the Lord's day. I even have an app on my watch. Some of you know this. And it goes off about every hour for about 9 hours and reminds me to thank the Lord. It's a water app. It's free. Sometimes I miss it too. I'll look down and I go, I haven't thanked the Lord all day today. Then I'll say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But seriously, I want to be aware of him as much as I can all day, even when I'm just painting or fixing something at the house or fixing something at the church. I want to be aware. I want to keep aware that this is the day that he's made. My goal today is really not to tell you what to do with Halloween, by the way, either. Each of you should be encouraged to do whatever you think would be the best thing to take it back. I don't recommend you go, you know, with buckshot and shoot the neighbor's decorations. Don't do that.
Birdshot.
Yeah, well, that's true. Birdshot will do the job. Some people just like to decorate. We got people in our neighborhood, they decorate for every season. I'm just waiting for them, you know, to come up with red, white, and blue lights for, you know, the 4th of July. But last night they were shooting off fireworks. I got no idea why. Just, huh? I know. Yeah, it was, Landon was like, it kept you up.
Yes.
What? You went to bed?
I did. I actually went to bed earlier. I went to bed at like 11:42.
Wow. 11:42. Signs and wonders. Thank you, Jesus. Shh. All right. Good job. So what it'll look like for each of us this week when we do whatever we do on the day that is designated for stuff. You got to figure that out. Every once in a while I've thought about it, it would be really, really interesting to see what would happen if I put up a cross in my front yard. Got some good-looking, long-haired young guy to hang on it during the time when kids were walking through the neighborhood. Yeah, well, I mean, they liked all the gross stuff that... Have you seen some of the decorations? Yeah. You know, maybe you fast all day. Maybe you lock yourself in a room and fast and pray all day. Somebody's like, can I just pray? Do I have to fast? I can at least have an iPod, right? We don't even use those anymore, do we? I can have my phone. I can worship music and just... That's fine. You do what the Holy Spirit directs you to do. That's a good idea. I'm all for that. Some of you may have an opportunity to witness to somebody somehow during the activity of people actually coming to your door. I know Christians who drop tracts along with snacks. It's not a bad thing. You can invite people to church. We don't do it anymore, but for years over on Sherwood, we would do coffee. We were the favorite house in Sherwood Forest. The people would tell us every year how much they loved coming to our house because their kids would get a little something and the adults would get something. It was fun. And I prayed for several people. Like laid hands on people and prayed for them right there in my driveway. Opportunities were given. A redeeming the time for the days are evil. I'm not saying you go out and, you know, do everything that everybody does because you know some of that stuff isn't appropriate. I think the Holy Spirit can speak to you, though. How many of you think it's okay if the pastor trusts you to hear God's voice? Well, if I don't trust you to hear God's voice, then I become God's voice. That's really scary. Because I've been known to make a mistake or two. Not very often. What? Yeah, what? Shh. Can you tell this is my grandson? Can you tell? Okay. We do the little harvest party that we're about to go enjoy with the kids. Well, they're having the party part now, and we're going to have the food afterwards. How many of you like food? Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe you should skip the food. You know, maybe you need to fast during this time because that's how God's telling you to handle it. What if every day we actually found the value of the day in spite of anything that the enemy tries to do? What if every day we looked and said, there's something good going on here? I got a testimony. I'm not quite ready to share it yet, but it's about vehicles. And I'm watching what God's doing. I got a surprise this week, but then God reversed it. The enemy wanted to curse it, but God reversed it. So I'm excited. I'll share it with you at some point. I love messing with the devil. I love messing with the devil. If he's trying to ruin my day, there's nothing more fun than ruining his day. If he's trying to screw things up, it's amazing to watch God fix things up. I just want to give him a bad time because he's given me, how many of you, the devil's given you a bad time over the years? Sometimes, yeah. I just want to mess up his day. And so I know the way to do that is just to hear the voice of God, do what God's telling me to do every day. And I know that today and every day this coming week will be another good day to seize the day. Carpe diem. Take it back. It doesn't belong to him. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take it back. Here's what I pray. I pray that as you go through this week, Because I don't think there's any way around it. Somebody's going to do something. How many of you got somebody in your life you already can think of? They're going to do something. You know, I'm married to her. No, that's bad idea. I know. We're just having fun. This young, the rare mistake. Yeah. Well, you know, there's probably going to be something that's going to be a disappointment. Something that's going to happen this weekend. You're going to be like, oh, man, what if the minute that happens, bing, a light comes on and you start thinking, oh, there must be something here I can do to the devil. There must be something. Where is it, Lord? Show me. I'm going to get even. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. He's trying to stop me from something. He's trying to distract me. He's trying to keep me from what God has for me. What? It's around here someplace, so you've all heard this. I'll end with this dumb joke. I think I've even told it before. Twins, they were having birthdays. One was the positive twin. One was the negative twin. The father was so tired of the positive twin and the negative twin not seeing things equally, as much as they were equal in every other way, identical in every other way. One was negative and one was positive. So he decided on their birthday he was going to do something, an experiment. He goes into the positive twin's room and he just loads it with presents. I mean, just tons of presents. And in the positive twin's room, negative twin got the presents, the positive twins, he went and he filled the room with manure from the stable outside, horse manure. The negative twin goes into his room, he sees all these presents, and he goes, oh, man. And the father's like, what's wrong? You got, look at all the amazing things I got you. Yeah, but now I've got to share them all with my friends. And there are going to be some people are going to be like, yeah, you got that. I didn't get that. He says, oh, I'm just this. Oh, this is going to be so hard. He's like, ah. Walks across the hall into the positive twin's room. And he's in there with a shovel. Just digging. What are you doing? He says, look at all this manure. There's got to be a pony in here someplace. I want to be the got to be a pony in there someplace guy. That's who I want to be. It's not my nature. Well, I understand. Get a new one. Yeah. Get a hold of what Jesus has for you. He wants you in there crying over presents when you could be looking for what God has for you. It's around here someplace. It's around here someplace. Let's stand up. Put your hand on your heart if you can. Now, Lord, if I didn't preach this to anybody else, thank you that I preached it to me. I need to be reminded. I need to recognize it. I know that there are stuff that comes up. There are things that disappoint. But around here someplace, Lord, you've got something really good. And if I will just start seizing the day, if I will just dig a little, I'll find what you've got, and I'll take back the day, and I'll ruin it for the devil, and I will have, Lord, what you want me to have, that fullness that is in Christ Jesus and him alone. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and doing in our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.